So thank you for allowing me to speak through you in this way. And I realize if others were to listen to this audio, then perhaps it might sound strange to hear a man channeling the words of a being that when I walked upon this earth I was in female form, and I am known to many throughout the whole world as Mary Magdalene. And as many of you know, there was a point many, many hundreds of years ago now, going back to 300 or 400 years after the passing of Christ, Yeshua, my beloved, that I was changed and transformed in how I was presented to the world, and was presented in a light that was intended to denigrate my value, my worth. And I would like to speak today about who I was and am still, and the journey that I walked with Yeshua. So perhaps you don't know, but I was an initiate in Egypt. I was a priestess in the temples of Isis, and I was deeply dedicated to her wisdom, to her teachings. And not only dedicated to her, but in place of remembrance, through all my studies, through all my practice over many years in Egypt, through the benefit of many incarnations of working to purify the path that I was walking, I was able in that lifetime to achieve the final revelation, and not just as concept, but as lived absolute truth, that I was one with Isis, that Isis and I were the same, that there was no separation between I and she. And so I lived from that place of remembrance of my divine nature, and all that I did was in remembrance of that. And when I first met Jesus, in that first moment of glimpsing, seeing him, I was also able to see how he was at that same level of perception, of understanding, of that union with Godhead that he had achieved. And so he was in union with God, and I was in union with Goddess, and both of us were fully surrendered to the truth of that in our incarnation. We no longer doubted, we no longer fell from standing in that place of greatest realization. And so when we came together and met, we both already knew instantly there was a great work we were to do. There was a magnetic attraction that pulled us together and that neither of us could deny. And perhaps it sounds strange to hear this, but Jesus came to the Isis temple to learn, and he had been called to there. He had followed that divine guidance from his God to go to that temple to receive of the teachings there. And myself and others within the temple were immediately able to see the level from which he operated from, and how, whilst we initiated him, he needed only the initiation to receive of the immediate remembrance. And in many ways, it was a remembrance not of God, but of his union with Goddess. And I came to become the one that was able to lead him through many of those initiations. And some of those were done within the temple with other members of our community. And the love that we held spanned so many levels. So yes, there was the human dimension in both of us that fell in love as one would as a romantic couple. And yet we both also had the eyes to see the other planes of reality. So to see how that love was the fuel that could carry both of us into a union of God and Goddess in the divine union, the great divine union, the great divine remembrance. And so we journeyed also as tantric partners. We made love, we healed, we opened one another. We reminded one another in every moment of all the aspects that had moments of forgetting, and we were able to carry one another together into the greatest love. The greatest love that had been experienced on planet Earth for a long time. And that was a love that celebrated the divine in each and every moment, that danced in the eyes of God in each and every moment, that offered up the body of these two holy lovers upon the altar of our sacrifice. We offered our everything, our souls, upon the altar of that divine remembrance. And as we kept on offering all of that up to the God and the Goddess that we so knew to be true, what rained down from above was golden, heavenly blessings, and they showered us when we were alone in bed with one another. They showered us when we walked through the streets. They showered upon us as we worked in the temple, as we helped to heal the people that came, and to invite them to return to their own remembrance of their own direct connection with God, Goddess. So let me just speak a little of that divine lovemaking. It was a lovemaking that welcomed every single aspect of our most divine self and our most human. And it loved every single part. And so as we made love physically, at times memories, moments from this life or past lives would arise, or even memories and moments from other people's lives would arise into the field of our lovemaking, and we would breathe and love them and be with them and cry with them and heal with them and return again and again to love, a greater and greater ever expanding love that was able to open and welcome all of them. And yes, at times we of course circulated energy through our bodies. We worked with the Ankh circulation practices. We worked with the cross as well. It's a very powerful force that also opens the heart, that also connects to God, that also connects to the earth. We both knew how to circulate such powerful energies through our bodies, and at points it was hard to discern who was healing who. Was I healing my beloved, or was my beloved healing me? Or were the great God and Goddess healing both of us? Or were we simply united through all of the planes? And actually that became the union, the holy union. And in that, as we surrendered more and more to that grace of allowing everything, of allowing sexual energy to move, of allowing every part of our body to be touched and loved and opened and felt and breathed with, we explored everything with the kind of playful innocence that one at times sees in children. And so we played with our sexuality in a way that was utterly beyond even the notion of sin. Because how could two lovers ever sin when they are both in such a field of love? Every act, every gesture coming from love. Every touch, every kiss on any part of the body filled with love. No part lesser than any other part. And so everything was allowed because the very notion of sin was outside of the door. It was with the small mind, and we were in the remembrance of the big mind, and the big mind knew that there was never any sin or any missing of the mark when we were loving whilst in remembrance of the all, and how even our most human parts coming through and desiring the flesh, desiring the physical union, even that too was so precious and holy. And it too was a doorway through to God, because all the channels were open. And so by opening our sex centers to one another, and of course all the chakras are open, because we've both done so much to purify ourselves on all the levels, and so the sexual energy was generated very powerfully, and of course it would unite at the level of the heart, and of course it would unite at the level of the crown, and of course it would unite with God. So it all became prayer, it all became a circular movement of breathing into the union, remembering all that we were in all of our lives, throughout all time, throughout all space, throughout all dimensions. And so at times the lovemaking would go from the most physical, the most carnal, the most earthy, the most grounded, the most passionate as two humans could know. And it would rise from that into the most loving, the most tender, open-winged hearts. And hearts that would not just open to one another, but would open and open and keep opening, so that we would send these open hearts out to the whole city, or we would send these hearts out to the whole country, or we would send these hearts out as far as we could imagine to touch to the furthest stars. And so we were uniting always in that remembrance of Earth and Heaven, God and Goddess, Priestess and Priest. And so when you come to pray at the temple of your beloved, your earthly human beloved, then what both I and Yeshua would say to you all is, be a loving yes to everything. Be in such a level of permission that all is welcome. And don't just traverse the physical terrain of the body. Traverse through the vast landscape of the heart. Traverse through the innumerable, endless universes of consciousness that you can access when you ascend into the higher planes, united as one. And so at points we would rise and rise and reach to levels where physically we were together, we may have been in union with him inside of me, and the eyes were closed and we were both journeying through lifetimes, journeying through cosmos, journeying through the many planes of dimension, journeying to temples of light to receive of even more wisdom for us to learn from, to draw from. And for both of us, it was the next step in our journey into being the offering that we were to become in that life. And we both knew that at some point Yeshua would be called away, that he would have to follow his incarnational destiny. So there is no sin in sex when it is offered upon the altar of love. And if there was anything we could share with you, it would be that truth of a remembrance of how all of you, including your sexuality, all of it can be offered as your prayer. And it doesn't need to look devout. And it doesn't need to look spiritually perfect, because it is beyond the mind's attachments to perfection. It is embracing the glory of one's human imperfections, as well as being always in remembrance of priest or a priestess and the god and the goddess that we are in eternal union with. When you attain to that level, you see that everything is lovemaking. The air is making love with the trees when it blows through them. The water is making love with the sky and with the land. And the feet, as they walk upon the earth, are kissing the earth with every single step. When you go to work, you go to work as a human being on an earth walk who is in service to a group of people in some way, through whatever you might do. You may work with others, you may work alone, but you are in service to humanity in some way. And that too is lovemaking. You don't need to be a priest or a priestess in a temple to be performing your service, loving your children, loving those you work with, loving those you live with, and seeing if you can even love those who are unable to see from the higher planes. Perhaps they are caught in greed or selfishness, or a deep forgetting of their true connection with all, and can you love them too and not judge them as lesser than you? Can you not just open your heart to your beloved, but can you keep opening your heart to all of life? Through all the planes, through all the dimensions. And when a contraction of any kind comes, can you meet that contraction with a new breath that just sits and welcomes the contraction as a dear friend? Sits for long enough so that that contraction has the space and the time to breathe. So for us, what we realized was that though both of us had learned many spiritual techniques, many spiritual practices over many years, ones that we learned in that lifetime, ones that we brought through from other lives, ones that we received from our own communion with God and Goddess, what we came to realize was that there is a place where you both embrace and allow whatever emerges in the moment. And so perhaps at times that would be a technique, and at other times it would simply be that which is beyond all techniques, beyond any mind decision or thought, fully in the moment, fully in love with everything, every expression, not running from anything but saying yes to all of it. Knowing that all of it is divine. And so it guided us to a place that was beyond all the techniques. And that was the most exciting place to be. Not knowing what was to emerge in the next moment, or even the next breath, because everything was revealing itself anew. And what else could we do but surrender to it and love it all? And it was wild, and at times emotions came through that were so strong, because they may not have even been our emotion, they may have been something trapped and held by a lineage of people over so many lifetimes, and then suddenly it would come pouring out of one of us. And that too was loved. And in another moment, some piece of our own lived childhood could emerge from the seas of eternal bliss that we would float upon. And that little broken, hurting child would reveal through the eyes of the beloved, and we would embrace that too. And not for a moment consider even the possibility that it may be inappropriate or that it may be unholy. We saw the holy inside of everything. Everything. And we knew that one day something great was coming. The greatest test. The greatest challenge. We did not quite know what that looked like. But we spoke of it at times. And both feared a separation, or both feared incarceration, both feared some kind of death that would separate us. And we also, at the same time as that, still also knew the love that we were experiencing and living together was eternal, was echoing out into and through eternity, through all the levels of consciousness. And we had glimpsed that. We knew the truth of that. And so whilst the human aspect, the human heart, the human mind feared for what was to come, the greater mind that we were so much and so often resting within knew that no separation could ever come. And our ultimate test for both of us was to be ready to die for our faith. To be ready to live so fully from our fire of truth that we would be ready to face death as Yeshua did, as another part of his loving service to the world, even though on some levels it also broke his heart, and it broke my heart. To lose him in physical form, and yet to also know his death in physical form was in no way the end of our relating. And so perhaps that sounds strange as an idea, or perhaps it doesn't. But even after he died, he simply stepped onto another plane of consciousness that we both could continue to meet upon. And we never stopped sharing of that love. And I lived many years beyond him in physical form and loved him through all those years, and he was still my beloved. Who walked upon the earth with me and who I was blessed to walk beside. And who left his body but never left our holy union at the feet of the great God and Goddess that keep all the worlds turning. the hardest test was to accept the manner of his passing was all part of the goddess's plan, the god's plan, and his incarnational path. And in moments of my own forgetting, when I fell to my small mind and forgot the great mind, I raged against God. I raged against the goddess. And they kept on loving me. They just kept on loving with Yeshua by their side. Till I was able to return to my remembrance of that eternal truth, because some part of me in fleeting moments doubted that immortal, eternal love. And that too was a part of my incarnational journey to breathe with, to grieve over the yearning of the flesh, to grieve over the human part of me and to keep allowing it, to keep allowing the tears, allowing the pain, allowing the suffering, and loving it all. Loving it all. Can you love it all, no matter how painful it can be to the heart that is broken open and seems so far from God, and yet that broken heart is the offering? Upon the altar. and the blessing of that journey is that it too healed me, healed my faith that flickered at moments, and it brought me again and again into that glorious union with Yeshua that I shared for so many years after his physical passing. A love making beyond the flesh, but so profound, so real, so glorious. And that would lead me eventually to one day let go of the body and to be in his embrace, and yet it was the same. It was the same as all those years when he'd been beyond the body. We had been in that union of love together. And that echoes out through beginningless time. And it radiates out throughout the world and throughout the universes. And those ready to hear the truth inside these words. And take of it what they can and leave all else behind. I bow to you as the brave souls that walk upon this earth in bodily form. And I bow to you as you navigate everything, the full spectrum from the greatest love to the greatest contraction, and back again. And I thank you for listening to these words. Please know that I, as one that has gone before you, tell you that these beautiful temples of the body may one day crumble, may one day be offered upon the altar. And your beautiful soul lives on. In the heart of your God or your remembrance of truth, your conception of that which we are all united as one within. I love you. I bless you. I thank you. And I wish you the most loving, graceful journey through life. Guided step by step. By the Beloved. In whatever form that Beloved may take. May you ultimately come to become that Beloved. And know you were never, ever for a moment, a single moment, separate from that.